96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
The city of Flint residents, they are not people that are disposable. We just are not. It's a crime for people to be serviced with water that's classified by the EPA as toxic waste.
For nearly 2 years, the city of Flint, Michigan has been dealing with a water crisis of epic proportions. High levels of lead have been measured in the city's water source since April of 2014. That's when the city, under the management of a state of Michigan appointed emergency manager, switched the water supply from Detroit to the Flint River to save money. The problem started almost immediately. And tonight we're looking at the Flint water crisis and environmental racism. My guests are Dr. Liddell Lewis, research strategist for Meaningful Evidence in Flint, Michigan, Dr. Marilyn McPherson Corder, pediatrician at Howard University Hospital, Elay Kinney, Howard University environmental expert, and Trey Sherrar, environmental health advocate with Anacostia River Keepers. We also want to hear from you. This is a national story with huge implications. A lot of people have been talking about this, so I definitely want to hear from our listeners tonight. Lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. Let me first start with Dr. Lewis. Dr. Lewis, there a lot of things happened today. Most recently, from what we understand within the last hour or so, another lawsuit has been filed to have the pipes in Flint replaced citywide. What can you tell me about that, and is that really realistic?
Well, keeping in mind, like you said, our infrastructure has been damaged. So when we talk about infrastructure, we're not talking about an apartment complex, nor are we talking about, a small, isolated census tract neighborhood. We're talking about an entire city that houses currently 100,000 people. So the number of people does not even reflect the number of residents in the area. So basically, it's not realistic to do it within an adequate time frame. So if you're looking at something like that, you're looking at least probably like 15 years to complete all the stainless pipes and getting all of the lead pipes out.
How
has been destroyed.
How bad is it? We've also heard reports that the water supply is starting to get better. Would you agree with that? And if indeed that is the case, when do you think it will be completely potable?
Well, keeping in mind that that we used to get water the same quality as bottled water coming out of our faucets. So definitely we are used to that type of water. And when we switched over to the Flint River water, that water was corrosive. So the good part is currently we're not faced with corrosive water as well as lead. Now we're just facing the lead issue. So of the two evils, we are progressing. Indeed, we are. But as mentioned before, we must realize that the fixes that are going on, and we are heavily thankful for everyone that's been donating. But, you know, bottled water, that's just temporarily. Yeah, so we need to get in there and do the big fix. So I have no clue when they're really going to start, not just talking about it, because I'm just now hearing discussions about actually getting in this and meeting the problem, but when they're actually going to start doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're waiting to hear.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the crisis in Flint, Michigan, the lead in the water issue. Trey Sherrar, briefly, explain to me what is the definition of environmental racism. The NAACP has classified what has happened in Flint as environmental racism.
So environmental racism is when racism and environmental justice are two terms that get bandied about. Environmental racism is sort of a crime against environmental justice. Environmental injustice, you can toss both around. In this case, it's where things that have pretty strong negative environmental impact, be that on directly on human health or on environmental health, that then begets an impact on human health, are mostly pushed onto populations that can't really speak up in their own defense. It can be along racial lines, it can be along economic lines. Often it's along both. We work on the Anacostia River, and we see the legacy of a lot of that, where dumps, power plants, chemical plants, all of these things, most of them were placed on one side of the river and not on the other, and it was on the side with a population that didn't have as much political pull.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Corder, talk to me about the effects of lead on the human population, particularly as it relates to children, because that seems to be the overarching concern, is how that lead in the water is affecting the youngest population in Florida.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I heard what was happening, I couldn't believe it, because that's 20 years ago. This is something that we've known for years. The Center for Disease Control changed the safe level and said not only should it be less than 10, it should be less than 5. And we now realize that exposure to lead can give many effects even in lower levels of the exposure in your blood, such as decreased IQ, decreased academic proficiency, inability to concentrate, inability to digest, significant cognitive and developmental damage. And, you know, one of the things, after a while, when you test, it may not be high, but that exposure that occurred can be, and often, irreversible.
Ms. Kenny, talk to me a little bit about the environmental issues in Flint. And the thing that a lot of people are also asking is, what are the true possibilities that something like that could happen here or in any other community in the nation?
So it's very realistic that it can happen anywhere in this nation. D.C. specifically has had this issue before, which is why some people in Flint actually contacted people who had worked on the issue in D.C., to kind of get more information. And so, kind of speaking directly to the environmental part of environmental racism, it's kind of disproportionate effects of environmental problems. So you look at a city like Flint, where it's about 57% black, 63% people of color, and you're disproportionately impacting people who are of color. And then the environmental aspect of it is that essentially what you're looking at is water that's contaminated, pipes that are contaminated. So it's not just the water itself. If it was bad water, getting water straight from Detroit would eliminate the problem. It's not just bad water. You're looking at bad pipes, bad infrastructure. So that's the entire environment. You're looking at, as a whole, kind of how can I sustain myself as a being and meet my basic survival needs of food and water when the environment around me cannot sustain it or support it, and then the water itself is actually terrible. So I think that the situation in Flint is a lot more drastic than kind of it even appears, because you see kind of bad water and you think getting good source water would eliminate the issue, and it doesn't. You have to kind of tear up a whole city almost to get good water. So it's major, but it's happened in cities all across America. This is not the first time. It won't be the last time. There's a lot of cities where people are tweeting pictures of their water presently, like so in Louisiana and a lot of different places across the country where we're having this same issue that's just not documented.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, the lead in the water. Tyrone, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you for having this program.
Sure thing.
Thank you for the Daily Drum. But I was given a comment that, of course, this is environmental racism. I was watching a report on this problem because, you know, it's just starting to hit the news nationwide. People have been showing the administration of this city their water, how it's not clear. No one would drink muddy water or brown water. But they also showed that there were reports back in 2014 from the EPA and experts on water saying that the Michigan River water was not safe, even treated. It's not safe for human consumption. So they already knew before they switched it not to do it. And the cost savings is just not enough. Like, there's no reason that you would put a population at risk to this type of, you know, toxic water, corrosive water, unless, of course, it's a racist thing. They would not do this in L.A. They would not do this in Green Bay or...
Well, let me, Tyrone, let me see what Dr. Lewis has to say about that. How would you respond to what Tyrone was just sharing with us, Dr. Lewis?
He's absolutely right, because the Flint River is known to be a dumping ground for our automotive plants, you know, because Flint is one of the homes of General Motors. So definitely, General Motors had had their fill of dumping into the river. In addition to, we have plenty of sewage breaches that I've read about in the paper in the past, and I think not the far distant past either. So just keeping that in mind. So then, when we're talking about using that as your water source, they have to treat it for corrosion control. So keeping in mind the history of this. And but the scary part about this, I'm going to interject this.
Please do.
Michigan is surrounded by the freshest water in the planet, all the Great Lakes. And we had to get our water from this river. So going back to the corrosiveness of it. So when they chose to do that, then they neglected to treat it properly for corrosion control. You know, all that sum total totally validates Tyrone's point.
But Dr. Lewis, let me ask you, the pipes that we've seen in all of the news reports, they haven't just become degraded over the past 2 years. This appears to have been going on for a very, very long time. So how is it that prior to 2014, the population of Flint was able to get fresh or undamaged, uninfected water prior to 2014 if they're still coming through these degraded pipes?
Well, that's just now coming out. There was, I know that the former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick of Detroit, when he wrote saying that they knew about the Flint pipes. But I will tell you, the lead levels have doubled. So according to Dr. Atisha, because she's been documenting, there's a lot of our pediatricians in the area, they have been documenting the increase of lead since the transition, and they have definitely risen significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, that's a significant indicator. But not only that, unfortunately, when you listen to her story, I mean, you can find that on YouTube and different news sources when you Google the crises. She said that she was being silenced, and they were trying to discredit her research and what she had to say.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is interesting, and I'm going to talk about this in a bit also, because the Virginia Tech professor Mark Edwards, who was at the forefront of this investigation for years, also had received political pressure, had been pushed literally to the edge of bankruptcy in his passion to investigate this. And now, ironically, he is on the 17-member committee that Michigan Governor Rick Snyder formed just today. So I just think that's just interesting. I think it's ironic.
This is even more interesting. You know, Flint, we may have our issue, but we have approximately 5 different colleges located within the city of Flint. So so are you telling me that although in the midst of us saying that we have a water situation, that we don't have any qualified individuals in the city? I'm not talking about within the state, talking within the state, but within the city. So we didn't have any scientists that were willing to step up, like Virginia Tech was, to do an investigation. And initially, they have footage of the DEQ and representatives from Michigan State University saying that the water is fine.
Mm.
So when you get into the politics of it all, who knows?
Well, I need to take a break, but I want to thank Dr. Liddell Lewis for joining us from Flint, Michigan. I really, really appreciate your time. If you're on the phone, please stay with us. You will be able to hear the program, and we're going to your phone calls next. That includes John in Woodbridge, Virginia, and Mike in Southeast D.C. Phone number 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Environmental racism and the Flint, Michigan crisis. Want to hear from you. We'll be back in just a moment. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us.